Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Praise God. We thank God for another Thursday that he allowed us to see, and we're just grateful for God keeping us from the last time we got together. And so with that, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G, we thank God that on this Thursday night we're able to gather around the word of God again, and we just want to thank him for his grace and his mercy that has continued to allow us to get together during what we call, many call a global pandemic, and all the things that are associated with that. And on last Thursday, we asked everyone to tune in to what the President of the United States was saying about the a situation with the Rescue Act and with the distribution of vaccines, and just an update on what the country is experiencing right now. And one of the things that is important in what we've been talking about is knowing the truth. And now, the big lie in the beginning of the existence of mankind was affected by a big lie of Satan telling Adam and Eve that, you know, God was lying to them. And one of the things that has perpetuated down from generation to generation is that someone's always willing to tell a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what causes man's downfall. And so as we listen to our leaders, spiritual leaders, political leaders, what we have to do is we have to judge them based upon their actions. And so as we follow our president, the things they talked about with being vaccinated, people are concerned because of some of the lies that have been told before, in particular people of color, when it came in a scientific world with people being purposely infected with disease and things like that. So we encourage everyone to listen and get the truth for yourself, because people have gone through social media, people have gone through the internet and gotten their information from people who will willingly deceive them. But when you sit down and you listen to the leader of the world, leader of the United States, and your religious leaders, if they're speaking from the word of God, if they're speaking and they're giving you documentation on the subject, then you have the ability to choose to make the right decision. So that's what we encourage people to do on Thursday. And that's what we encourage you on last Thursday. And that's what we encourage people to do every night that we get together on Bible study or when we're preaching and teaching the word of God, is to go back and see what the record is. And you know, we're studying book of 13th chapter, book of Acts. And so what Paul and Barnabas are doing is they're going back and they're reading the historical record, what has been put on record to demonstrate to those who would come against the word of God that they are lying, they're in disbelief, they are deceiving, because the record stands. And you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so we need to know the truth, not only with our religious leaders, but our political leaders. And know it for yourself. Don't go by what somebody said, what somebody told you, or what I heard, or what I think. But go by what the record and the truth is. Sheila G.
Amen. And along those lines, I found that it's very interesting that we've been through this pandemic, man telling the big lie, the hate coming forward, losing our moral compass. Now we're coming on to the other side of this, and similar to what we're studying in the Bible now, the government is realizing that they need to turn to the religious leaders to help to get the truth come out. So you're finding that they've gone to the community. For example, I know that one of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden has opened up one of the vaccine centers because they're reckoning. So now's an opportunity for the church to work with the government to get the truth out, and that's going to cause more people to do what's right, and that's going to offset the lies. So we saw the lies and the destruction, and here God is having the government is turning to the religious leaders, and the religious leaders, the church, the Christian leaders are the ones that can help get that fact out, kind of like what you're doing now and what we're doing now as far as encouraging people who trust in the Lord that we aren't going to lie to please man, but we're going to tell the truth and point people in the right direction. And this gives us an opportunity to take that extra step to share the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. And Dr. G, we as a people, as a Christian community, we don't live in this world by ourselves. So we can't bury our head in the sand and just say, okay, this is just what's going on in our four walls. And a lot of times people say, well, the church shouldn't be talking about political things and things that are in the world, but we live in this world, and so it's important, like Sheila G says, is that we live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Dr. G.
No, you're right, and I think that's one thing that is very important. But even with the religious leaders, you know, I think it was last week, where one of the evangelicals that in the beginning was going along with all of the rest of those folk, and especially the Southern Baptists, they were all in line following the lie. But now several of them have pulled away from the Southern Baptists and beginning to speak the truth. And, you know, with that, people still need to be very careful of religious leaders, politicians, all of them. And if it doesn't line up with that word, I think that's the key. Will have to get into that word for themselves. They can't go by what somebody else said. That's one of the things that's hurt the church, the world, that's hurt our nation. People have just got, they followed the lie. And to the point now where Orange Man, he's beginning to fade, but he's trying to still stay in. But people are finding out that it was a big lie.
Love, Trump, hate.
Amen.
Amen, amen. And so it's important that we follow what the truth is. And I believe last time we were together, Dr. G, we were talking about people who had itchy ears and they wanted to hear the gossip and the juice and wanted to hear the salacious and wanted to seem like there's something to cover up their wrongdoing, and no one wants to be humble, but they want to have it their way, and that's what the enemy preys on. It preys on people's pride and their lust and their wanting to be in charge and in power, selfish. And, you know, those are the things that get people in trouble. And so when we look at the word of God, Jesus set the example. He humbled himself to the point where he even endured death on a cross. And and because he was looking out for someone else. And he didn't point his finger at people, but he came to save that which was lost. And that took sacrifice. And what we see now is a rising of hatred and bigotry and selfishness, that people are thinking more of themselves instead of the good of their common man. And it was Christ who said that all the commandments can be wrapped up into two, or they all hinge on, or all ten hinge on two, is to love God and to love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And that is something that people, if you don't look like me, or you don't talk like me, then I don't think you're my neighbor. But Jesus, that your neighbor is whoever you come in contact with, that's your neighbor. And right, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And so all of this hatred and racism and people trying to stay in power is about not being humble, not recognizing that all men have been created in the image of God. We should seek to go back to that, be humble enough to go back to that and think that the word of God is true, and know that the word of God is true, and not try to take advantage of someone for the color of their skin or how they look or where they come from or how they talk, but be willing to recognize them as someone created in the image of God.
Amen. And if we would recognize that, and we have an opportunity now as the Christian community to hone in on that, then this place will be a much peaceful and more loving place. Stop looking at people, what they look like on the outside, but look at their heart and look on the inside and make ourselves a committee of one to be more Christ-like, to show Christ, so that people can't see the hate. And I think that's why the political leaders now, similar to like when it was Dr. Martin Luther King, are looking to the religious leaders to help to bring the nation together, to bring it to be a nation of love again, to bring it together. And they know, and you can't do that, you can't have that kind of love if you don't have the love of Christ within you. So we're having to pull God, you know, pull others to recognize that if we all get the love of Christ in our hearts and stop thinking with our minds and what we see and what we feel and that pride, then we can all come together and we'll stop looking at each other differently instead of looking at each other as a child of God.
Amen, amen. We have to definitely continue to set the example, continue to speak the truth. And that takes us back to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas are explaining to the Jewish leaders at that time of what has occurred and what the truth is, and to let them know that the word of God is standing, it's on the record, and that they, the Jews, were given the word first, but they rejected it. In other words, God had Jews as his chosen people, and that they were to receive the word to be an example, to be a repository, to be able to give the word good news. And so they were chosen for that, not that they were any special, more special than anybody else, but they were chosen to be the example. And I think a lot of times what happens is people, when they're authority or they're in power, they think they are it, in that, you know, they got there on their own, instead of acknowledging that it was the grace of God that has them in this position for God's purpose and God's plan, and that they should behave in a manner that glorifies God. And so Paul and Barnabas are telling these religious leaders that, you know, you guys had a chance and you messed it up, so now God's turning to the Gentile. And you know, they went on preaching and teaching to the Gentiles. And then the Gentiles believed the word, and then the Jews got jealous because they were drawing more crowds or drawing more people than they were. And it's a crazy thing to see people go down a road and lie, manipulate, and try to get influenced by treating people bad. And then when people hear the truth and they see the people are getting the truth and the people are responding to the truth, that they get mad, and then they try to conjure up stuff so that the truth can't get out. And you see this all over the country now, is that people responded to the truth during this last election. They responded, they came out and voted for what the truth was, that we should have equality and equity in the country. And it's crazy that when the truth became more popular, now the people that were believing the lie are coming up with laws and Jim Crow era, I believe it was the new senator from Georgia, preacher of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, Martin Luther King's old church, called it draconian. In other words, they're coming up with stuff to try to get people from responding or hearing what the truth is. And it's amazing how there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing they did back in the biblical days, the same thing they did back in the civil rights movement in the 60s and before that in Jim Crow, is they can't persuade people with the lie for so long because the truth's going to come out. And when the truth comes out, people respond to the truth, and they make godly and they make decisions that will benefit everyone. And so what happens is the people that believe the lie, don't want people to be beneficial or don't want to believe the truth, they come up with more and more ridiculous things to try to take to shield the truth and try to take away the equity for everyone. And it's just crazy to see it repeat itself over and over again. But that's what happens when you have people that don't recognize God, don't recognize God, that don't follow God, that don't humble themselves before God, is that the only way that they can survive and get ahead is to continue to lie. Sheila G.
Hard to believe. You hear me now? I was agreeing with you. I said that as you were saying that, it made me think about us getting ready to celebrate Easter, that on Palm Sunday, everybody was Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But then when on Good Friday, they were crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But then eventually the truth came out. And it's the same thing, that man would just get ridiculous. You know, when he was going from judgment hall to judgment hall, they just kept telling more people, making stuff up, saying that this man said this and this man said that, you know, all these false witnesses. And that's what's happening today. But like you said, once it all goes through, the light will come out and we shall see the victory.
Amen, Dr. G.
Well, you know, I agree with what Sheila G was saying. I was sitting here thinking how, because for me, I mean, I've been pushing home, you know, that Second Chronicles 7:14, how until we become humble, until we stop, as you said in the beginning, you know, we've got to stop with self and get back to putting the Lord first. I mean, you know, we've talked about it, you know, God used to be in everything, but we've gotten away from all of that. And folk have gotten so caught up with the lie and the untruth. I mean, it's just sickening that every day when you sit in front of the news, you hear more lies. And the politicians are just, I mean, it's like all they know is the lie. And it's because of, and I told the church this Sunday, sin. There is no little sin, no big sin. Sin is sin. And it covers folks' eyes to the truth. And until we get back to the Word and get back to the Lord, folks will never really fully understand what's going on, because God is continuing to try to get people's attention. He is not letting up. And folk need to wake up and really see what the Lord is trying to say.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Act 13. Let's pick up in verse 24, where Paul and Barnabas trace back the history of God being with his people and the Old Testament. And now he's picking up with the New Testament, where the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, comes on the scene. So they're rehearsing this in the synagogue to the Jews. And so as they're rehearsing it, they went all the way from the Old Testament and up to the New Testament. Now in Acts 13:24, they come to them. We're reading King James in Acts 13:24. Says, when John had first preached before the coming baptism of repentance to all people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of its feet I am not worthy to loose. So John is being humble, and he is the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, that was prophesied to the Jewish people. And so he's rehearsing in the Jewish leaders' ears the truth, and they've been believing a lie, and they've been held in high esteem, and they wanted to continue to be prideful and lifted up. But John comes humble, and he says, you know, this is who's coming. I'm not him. I'm not the Messiah, you know, but he's coming. And so Barnabas and Paul are giving them the history. And it's so important that we go back and we give people the history and say, this is what happened. Put it up if you want. You can try to hide it if you want, but this is what happened. And so in verse 26, it says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of this salvation sent. In other words, this was promised to you. Here's the promise to you. Here's the truth. Here's your Messiah that has been prophesied to you. It was prophesied. It was told. You know the records, and you see people that know the record and they know the history, but yet because their pride and their stiff-neckedness, they refuse to believe it. And so this is what happens when they refuse to believe it. If we go to verse 27, he says, for they that dwelt in at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And in verse 29, it says, when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. And verse 30 says, but God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, in other words, this is the history, this is what has been promised, this is what has happened, this is what you are aware of. There's no denying it. You can deny it, but the truth is still going to be the truth. And mm-hmm. So in verse 33, he says, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again, as it also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So Sheila G, they go back and they declare what is, what the obvious is, what is written, and so when you confront the lie with the truth,
right.
It starts acting crazy because it can't deal with it. And mm-hmm. and it's the same thing today. When the truth comes out, when people are presented the truth and they begin to start speaking truth and responding to the truth, the lie acts crazy. It's like they can't do anything but tell more lies. It's sort of like the old
right.
saying, if you lie, you got to keep up with a lie. You got to tell another lie. You got to tell another lie. But they went back and they went the whole history of what God said and God's prophets and God's son and God's son's death and God's, well, before his death was his trial and was his death and was his resurrection, and that people saw him, and so they understood that it was the truth, it wasn't a lie, that he raised him from the dead. And all of these things are truth, and they're standing on the truth. And no matter what anybody does or what anybody says, people have to stand on the truth. Because
right.
the lie is always going to try to, it's a constant battle, it's a spiritual battle, it's a battle of good and evil, and you have to stand on the word of God. You have to stand on the promises of God. You can't get weary. You can't get tired. You can't shut down, because you know in the end that God is going to get the glory. And so we have to keep being persistent, sort of like the battle of civil rights, the battle of equality, the equity, the battle to be recognized as a child of God, as a man or a woman, whether you're a
mm-hmm.
man or a woman of color, or whether you're rich or whether you're poor or wherever you are, to stand up and say, I have rights, and God has given me these rights, and you don't have the right to deny me these things. And so based upon these truths, amen, we stand, and we stand on the side of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And what I love about this scripture and what they're saying, their goal is to let them know that salvation is for everyone, both the Jews and the Gentiles. So, and in the scripture, when they're saying, okay, because you're descendant of Abraham, Jews, don't get it twisted that you're better,
right.
similar to what we're saying today, than the Gentiles, because when Jesus was crucified, they already told you that John the Baptist and your own scriptures that you read on the Sabbath every Sunday told you that Jesus was coming, but you knew him not, and you still took him to be crucified. And so don't act like you're better than anybody else, but he still died for the sins of the Jews and the Gentiles, those of his own descendants that turned their back on him, for everyone, for that love. To love, to show that we all can have salvation if we believe in Jesus. So don't think that you're better because you're Jews versus Gentiles. Salvation and the truth is for everyone. Christ died for us all. And so he break by them, Paul and Barnabas is breaking it down like that and show them that history. It's like you're not better than anybody else because you did things as well as anybody else. But if anybody is God-fearing, Jesus died for it all, so salvation is for all. And that's how the first century church was being built.
Amen, amen. Dr. G?
Well, I think Sheila hit it on the head. My mind went back to when Cornelius first came on the scene and how the Spirit revealed to Paul what he wanted him to do. You know, the Lord knows what he wants. But as she was talking, I thought about how the Jews, when you go back into the Old Testament, they might have been the chosen people, but they were so puffed up and the heads were so big, and each generation that came after them was worse than the generation that preceded them. So, you know, when the New Testament came on the scene and Jesus had to come and he had to let them all know that this salvation is not just for the Jew, but it's for Amen. Everyone. And the Jews just weren't ready for that. They did not want it. And, you know, it's just like Sheila said, just like these white folks today. They don't want to hear that what this democracy is, it's for all races of people. They seem to think that it's them little southern white folk back in the hill, that it was predicated on them. They're the ones, and certain folk have jumped on that lie, and they've run with it, and it's the same thing that we see today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sheila, you want to follow up on that?
No, I was just saying it's the same race war. It's the same race war. This race thinks they're better than the other race, and they're and standing on the lie, like we've been saying, and they forget that, no, God is not a respecter of person. If you trust, you believe in him, you will be saved, and he loves the someone light-skinned versus dark. He doesn't care about nationality, but it's nothing new under the sun, and this is where Paul is breaking it down to them, saying, No, salvation is for it all, and don't act like you're better because look what you did to your own. And God still and even sacrificed his life for you, and what you did was actually worse. But, you know, God doesn't hold that against us. Once we say that we love him, we're accepting him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that's it. But it's man that starts judging man like they're God. And that's the lie that we're seeing today, was just like the lie was back there.
And see, we forget that the Lord said, whosoever will. He didn't say, depending on what race you are, whosoever will, let him come.
Amen, amen, and that is, people get it twisted. They get it twisted, and they don't do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God because they want to twist it where it's just them, and they should be the ones that are privileged, and they should be the ones that are in charge, and they should be the one that should be recognized, and they should be the one that's first, and everybody else should be lower than them. And that's not how God intended it. And so when you talk about Old Testament and New Testament, Testament is a covenant or a promise. And so the Old Testament covenant came through Abraham, and Moses introduced the sacrifice with the putting the blood on the doorpost and the lintel when they were delivered out of the bondage of Egypt. And so instituted Levitical law, and they carried out that ritual until Christ fulfilled the promise, and he instituted the new covenant, a new promise in his blood. And so you no longer have to do the shedding of the blood of the animals and the scapegoat symbolizing the deliverance of sin or the forgiveness of sin, where Jesus, when he shed his blood, the record said he went and sat down at the right hand of God after he shed his blood. That was done once and it was finished. And so that's the new covenant that these Jews are having problems in this book of Acts of accepting that Jesus fulfilled the law, and that he shed his blood that was the atonement for the sins of the world, and that was the fulfillment where he no longer had to do the ritual of the Old Testament. And so that's what he was saying in the synagogue, and they did not want to even though this was promised, even though the prophets talked about it, they didn't want to believe it because it took their to them their importance and their ritual away from them, that they no longer had to shine. And when people no longer had to shine, they get upset because they like to shine. Sheila G.
That's that pride. We keep coming back to that pride that, yeah, they want to be the special ones and I want to be better than someone else, or they want to one-up someone. Our parents used to call it the crab syndrome. But it's with Christ, it's a level playing field. He loves us all. He will always love us. But he doesn't force his love on us. He gives us the choice. But those two commandments we have to follow is to love God and love our neighbor. And you can't love your neighbor if you're better than they are.
That's right.
So let's go back to Paul and Barnabas as they're declaring the word. And so he took up on verse 35, that wherefore he said in also another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. But David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. In other words, David passed on and was laid unto his father and saw corruption. In other words, he died. But in verse 37, but when God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sin. Like you were talking about earlier, David, sin is the problem from the beginning of mankind. In verse 39, he says, and by him all that believe, this is again what you said, Dr. Jesus, all, whosoever, all, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's what we're talking about, was the institution of the old covenant. And so you can't be justified by that through the old covenant, through the old ritual that Moses instituted. So in verse 40, he says, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Now he can really load a boom on them, Sheila G. He said, now I done told you the truth, and the prophets already spoke about what y'all gonna do. He said, now you got an opportunity to follow the truth. They get ready. You know how you wind it up and get ready to let it go. He's winding it up now. And he's getting ready to let it go. And he said, beware, therefore, lest you come, verse 40, lest that you come upon you, which is spoken of the prophet. And in verse 41, here it goes. He said, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, through a man, though a man declare it unto you. And in other words, you're not going to believe, even though the truth is laid out in front of you and the truth is given to you. I want to read that in the NIV, verse 441. He says, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. And in verse 42, he says, as Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak further about these things on the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was dismissed, many of the Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. And so we see that by continuing to speak the word of God, continue to speak the truth, that people will be reached. They will be in a place where they understand what the truth is, where they can contrast the lies. But he sees that they're saying, beware. He says, don't be like what the prophet said you're going to be, that you're not going to believe this. And so what we see is that the truth is standing. The truth is being victorious. The truth is overcoming the lie. But you got to keep speaking it. You got to keep standing on it. You got to keep living it. You can't just speak it, but you got to live it. And so what happens is, overwhelmingly what will happen is the truth will make us free. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you were saying that, I could see, we can see how that happened here recently in 2020 and 2021. Since 2016, we had been in Bible study. We kept talking about how we were getting away from the truth of God, that we were losing our moral compass. All of a sudden, it was okay to bully people. All of a sudden, it was okay to say things. All of a sudden, it was okay that our religious leaders and our government leaders were all standing on the same lie and manipulating the truth for other good. So all of a sudden, as long as everybody was happy-go-lucky, that's when the devil came in and God shut it down, literally.
Amen.
Between the storm,
amen,
the fire, the pandemic across the world, the hurricanes, everything. He just shut it all down. Now, the truth, the only thing that's been consistent is the truth. So what happens, amen, now, we're coming to religious leaders again and saying, okay, now God has worked it out so that, one, the government has changed, two, people are starting to talk again. But in order for us to cure this, religious leaders, we need you to step in, help tell the truth so that we can help heal the land by being showing humility of Christ and getting others to do things like this vaccine. But just as you said, we had to consistently stand on the truth because we observed wholeheartedly, front and center, what happens when the truth sits back on its laurels, is not consistently being told, the lie continues to grow, and then it leads to destruction. But if you continue on with the truth, it can be built back up.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
Well, for me, in my mind, I was going back to when I first got the new birth and what was going on there. Sin was definitely in the camp. You had one deacon that was pretty much boss hog. He was leading folk, supposedly according to the word, and people were following it. And as time went on, as I stood on the word, stood on the truth, I mean,
amen,
Satan showed his ugly head to the point that every time this deacon would do something and I would stand against him, the truth was making a stand. Fast forward to where we are now, mm-hmm, to see how that church has taken on a brand new change. I mean, I hear the people talk about it, how the love, I mean, people call on the line and talk about how there's so much love within the church. And I have, mm-hmm, to give God all that credit because that church was not like that when I first got there. They were doing, mm-hmm, a little bit of everything of what was going on here in the Word. I mean, they talk compromise, talking about folk, gossipers, you name it, they did it. And all in the name of the Lord. But as soon as someone stood on the truth, then they tried to attack me. And each time, mm-hmm, Lord would remove them or somebody would die because he, mm-hmm, let me know, you're not going nowhere. So you might as well stand pat on the word. And, I mean, I tell folk all the time, and there are those that are still there, they know that I had to bury them, the main ones that were trying to cause problems within the church. But when you stand on the truth and when the truth is being preached and taught, and, mm-hmm, like you said at the beginning, it's not just words, you got to show it. That's, mm-hmm, the thing that's going to help draw people back to the body of Christ.
Amen, amen. Let's look at this in chapter 13, verse 45, and here comes that but, and back into King James. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy or jealousy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So here's the enemy rearing his ugly head, trying to thwart what the word of God does, or what the word of God was being said, or the truth. And it's something like you said, Dr. G, you had to stand boldly. So when you look at verse 46, like you stood boldly in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold. In verse 46, it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. These are some bad boys. When these boys wax bold and start standing on the word of God, I'm going to read verse 46 in the NIV. It says, then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, we had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected and do not consider yourself worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. In other words, they said, okay, you want to serve this life. Yeah, you want to serve, and since you don't consider yourself worthy, I'm like, wow. This is waxing bold, is that you don't consider yourself worthy of eternal life. You've seen the record. You've seen right. God down through these 42 generations prove that he is God and his word is God. And you've seen the prophets, you've seen the judges, you've seen the kings, you've seen the forerunners, John the Baptist, you've seen the written record that God is trying to save your narrow butt, as in today's vernacular, save your soul.
Right.
But because you want to choose to believe this lie and stand on the lie, because you mad that you're not in charge anymore, you never were in charge anymore, since you don't want to receive this salvation, like you said, Sheila, the train is pulling out the station. grace is here. But if you don't consider yourself worthy, we turn into the Gentiles, Sheila G.
Amen. And it's like, there you go, that pride, that ego. What was that phrase used to be? Cut off your nose to spite your face.
Spite
so
your
it's
face.
Pretty much in that, okay, I went through your history, ran stuff that you used to look at the Sabbath. You jealous because you want to be large and in charge when I'm telling you the truth that Jesus come to save everybody, but you're going to say it's a blasphemy and you're going to say it's not true because you're jealous and your little feelings are hurt. Okay, bye. We're going to turn to those that do believe and see what happens when you get left behind, because you being jealous, you acting ugly, you standing on the lie is not going to change the truth. You will die and go to hell.
Amen.
Whereas everybody else will go and live the life that Christ has offered unto them. And that's what you see today. It's like you can keep lying, but you're going to keep hitting the brick, and you look worse and worse and worse. But the truth stands. The lie will fall. It may not fall immediately, but it will. And that's what he tells them. It's like, you don't want it? It's offering. God's not going to force it on you, but you're going to stand there with your jealous behind because you want to be, and you're still not going to be in charge. That's the thing. It's
yeah.
You have control of the situation. The control, you can't take over this. You're not bigger than God, so you're not getting it, and you don't want eternal life. Okay, we'll go to those that do.
Amen.
Amen. Dr. G?
Yes, I definitely got something to say about this. I mean, and, you know, that whole dialogue there, you know, and what I love about it is the fact that it's the same thing that the Lord tells us today. Our job is to preach and teach. Those that want it will accept it. Those that don't, dust the dust off our feet and keep on pushing. I mean, I tell folk all the time, look, I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. It's out there. It's just like with this pandemic. Okay, we got Zoom. Those that want to call in, gonna call in. Those that don't, they still in bed, so be it. That's on y'all. But when the Lord begins to bless us, don't y'all look
at talk
about and all that other stuff. I don't want to hear it. And see,
come on,
preacher. Don't get it. You know, they think because they are, and these are preachers, deacons, or whoever, that they got a certain amount of ownership of the Lord because they're whatever. No, the Lord says, whosoever will. And if you don't don't mean that somebody else over here won't.
Come on now. Come on now.
I've learned that in my ministry. It was hard to accept because as folk left the church, the money given, you know, Lord, how are we going to pay this? Lord said, don't worry about it. I got you. And each time he has. So at this point now, I'm at the point I'm going to do what he tell me to do. I'm going to preach. I'm going to teach. We got prayer service. We got a Bible study for those that want to call in. Those that don't, they're too busy. That's between you and the Lord. But like the word was saying, okay, first to the Jew. They didn't want to act. So he opened it up to the Gentiles. And there were Gentiles that were hungry for it.
Come
and
on,
that man. Is where we are in our day and time. The Lord is not going to punish everybody. I mean, there's going to come a time when he will reward those that have been obedient to what he has said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's right here in the word. And there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to say, I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have this. It's like, well, on Sunday they did this. On Wednesday they did this. And on Tuesday they did this. And on Thursday they did this. Where were you? where were you? But if you look at verse 47, and this is how we're finishing up. He says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And in verse 48, he says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." In other words, Gentiles were glad to get the word. In other words, they were under this Jewish, what do they call it, elite, the elitist, or the supremacist Jews, or the privileged Jews. And Paul and Barnabas said, yeah, they missed the train. We going to you. It's available to you, too. And they was happy. They was happy. Said, Lord, we got salvation, too. And it must have struck the Jews that God said, no, that's not just for you. And I told you in the word it wasn't just for you, but you guys just rejected it out of hand. But the Gentiles are going to eat it up. And a lot of times people who have been mistreated and trodden down, they are more receptive to the hand of grace. They're more receptive to salvation. And so they were glad. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to finish up in verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. In verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. See how God is taking what man meant for bad and God is turning it around for good.
Yep.
When you get that persecution, God can use that persecution to save people, to prove to people that he is God and that he and his word will supersede anything that man is trying to perpetrate as a lie. In verse 49, and the word of the Lord published throughout all the region. In verse 50, but the Jews stirred up. It is. You know, this always happens when the truth shines and God gets the glory. You still got folk digging in on the lie, right? Verse 50.
Yeah.
But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of the cult. In other words, there's always going to be a battle. When someone's trying to do good, there's always going to be someone. They're going to stir up folk and folk going to follow fools. It's crazy what people will follow fools. So these are devout and honorable women and chief men of the city. They following fools.
Privilege.
Following fools and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, who was telling the truth, and the Jews and they expelled them out of the city. So what did Paul and Barnabas do? Like Dr. G said, he said, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them. And came unto Iconium. In other words, they kept it moving.
Yep.
And when they kept it moving, the result of all of that was verse 52. And the disciples, what? Were filled with joy and with what? The Holy
Peace.
Ghost.
Peace.
Holy Spirit.
Peace. Standing on the truth. And they were all stirred. And the thing is about that, when you read this, how much energy did evil have to spend to like, no, I don't believe you. You're blaspheming. Let me go stare at these people. Let me get these people in upset.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, they just standing on the word of truth, being peaceful, following God. Okay, you don't want to hear it. That's good. Those that do, let's get on a train. Let's have this nice ride. But they spent all that energy, and we're still defeated. But those, mm-hmm. when you stand on the word, you can have the peace in the midst of confusion. And again, you see that today. All this anger, all this hate, all this evil, all these people going crazy. But those that are standing on the truth are walking peacefully. They're passing civil rights laws. They're registering people to vote. They're getting vaccines to help
mm-hmm.
Combat this pandemic. Now you got the people that on one side were saying that, okay, the vaccine's going to make it go away. Now following behind this man, well, no, I don't want to have the vaccine. And then he comes back and says, oh, get the vaccine. But
and,
it's because you're confident.
And it's crazy because these people were honorable and they had position and they had stature, and they threw it all out the window, Dr. G, because they wanted to believe a lie. They were in a position of privilege. They were in a position of getting the word and knowing the word and knowing the prophecy, and because of their selfishness, their position, they just took it, crumbled it up, and threw it out the window, Dr. G.
Well, and it's the same thing that we see today. When you look at these politicians, you know, I go back to when President Obama was in office. McConnell said, we're going to make him a one-term president. And anything and everything that man brought up, no. And here we are now. They went through 4 years or whatever Nut-Nut wanted. Okay, fine, we're going to do that. But here you got President Biden coming with some good concrete things.
He'd bring
the vaccine back. He'd bring the Lord into play. Here they want to go back to no. And then with the threat, well, when we get the Senate back and we get the House back, we're going to do this, that, and the other. I mean, it's evident. All that negative energy, and it's the same thing that you see back during biblical days on Paul and Silas, and yet, like you said, Paul and Silas, they dusted the dust, kept on pushing it, and that's what we have to do. We can't let a few stop us from doing what we need to be doing.
Amen, amen. We had to get through in order to stay in contact with this these last 10 verses. So we're going to go to the phone lines next week and discuss about keeping it moving.
That's
going to be the question, how important it is as Christians to keep it moving.
Stand on the truth.
Amen. 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 But we wanted to close out this chapter and keep it all in contact. So, Dr. G, Sheila G, any final comments? And close out with prayer, please.
Well, we thank God that we can see the same thing. There is nothing new under the sun. And if folks slow down and if they were honest enough and really take a look at what was going on during time and Barnabas time, it's the same stuff that's going on now. The lie has to continue to lie. Folk want to keep their jobs, and it's so obvious that people just don't get it. But they will. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another opportunity that you've given us. Father, we thank you that we've gotten into the Word and we can see what's going on today is the same thing that was going on during Paul's time. Father, we thank you, O God, that the truth is going to continue to set us free. Father, we pray right now that you would continue to shine down that light from heaven. Lord, reveal yourself, and until mankind comes to the point where they step off of their high horses, bow down before you. Nothing will ever change. Father, we thank you. We pray, we ask it all right now. In the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight, Crystal. We'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.